preach. In this particular case, I know what I should preach, but the Lord wasn't having it. So I'd like to share something a little bit off the beaten track for our Wednesday night. And I'd like to go to Romans 8, verse 26 tonight. Romans 8, 26. And it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. As a child, there was a young man named Robert Robinson. As a child, Robert Robinson was raised in church. His mother was a very devout woman from what history tells us. And like so many young people, Robert went and fell in among the rabble. One day he and his friends went to go down to a Methodist church. And they were going to go down there to where the preacher was preaching, and they were going to just disrupt the service. Again, we think young people are disrespectful today. Turns out that sinful spirit has always been around. They went to go interrupt George Whitfield from preaching. George Whitfield, if you don't know him very well, he was a very strong Calvinistic preacher, preached the gospel. And while he was there, the teens were waiting for their opportunity to dive in and interrupt the services. But instead of this young man, Robert, jumping up and interrupting the services, the Lord brought him under conviction and saved his soul. 3 years would go by while he dealt with the Lord and asked for his forgiveness and grew as a Christian. He picked up his pen and he wrote a song called Come Thou Fount. We love that song. That always left a big impression on me. Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy praise. Let Thy goodness like a fetter. And we think about all the beauty in that song. And he gets down to that one point. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And very much like that song, he wandered away from God. Events had taken place. His heart was weak. He did find himself into a Baptist church. He was a Baptist man for the rest of his life. But he backslid and he got out of church. And finally he was sitting there and he was talking to a woman. The woman kept talking about her favorite hymn. You know how people carry on about stuff. Talking about that favorite hymn. And of course it was Come Thou Fount. Drove him nuts. He didn't want to talk about it. Tried to change the subject. Tried to move the conversation here. Move it over there. She kept coming back to Come Thou Fount. He lost his mind. He goes, I'm the one. I think he said the exact phrase was, I'm the unfortunate soul that wrote that song. And he talked about how much he would love to feel those words again. You see, many of us in the church, and not everybody's business is on the table, but many of us, we are going through hard times. We're going through trials. We're going through things we haven't been through before, or things that are difficult. For some of you, it's a physical ailment that has gone beyond its welcome. It has hurt you. It has beaten you down. It's made life quite difficult. For some, it is cancer. For others, it is cancer within the family. We cannot forget to pray for Gordon Bard. We consider these things. For others, it is just the wearing down of the body. It is wayward children. It is change that has taken place. And it can become tempting for us to see that change and believe that perhaps God's position in your life has changed as well. We think of Peter walking out on that water, as we've talked about recently. He had to have believed it was Jesus to step out on that water. I can't think of any ghost or booger man out in the water that would call me out into the water and I would step out onto it. If Jesus called me out there, I would like to think that I would have that kind of faith to step out. But oh, Peter, as he stepped out, he got his eyes on the storm and he got his eyes on the wind. And what did he do? He lost faith and he sank. Some of us were in those positions and we think that because our lives are in a position of change or difficulty that perhaps things have gotten out of control. That perhaps things are beyond repair. That perhaps things have gotten so bad that no good could ever come of it. As we read here in this scripture, there is no such thing for the child of God. Not because of the merit and good strength of our own, but because of the God we serve. Those winds blew hard. Those waves were high. But Jesus was the master of both. You see, the Lord called Peter out onto that water. You see, Peter out there on this boat, many of us, we think the boat's dangerous enough, isn't it? I mean, I want you to think about that passage of scripture. You're on a boat. It is rocky. When I was a kid, my aunt took me out onto a cruise ship, took me, my family, we're out on a cruise ship, and it wasn't quite a storm, but the waves got rocky. And it was something else. You had to brace yourself. You couldn't get into the pool. You looked down into the pool from the railing and the water was rocking back and forth in it, almost to the point where you could see the bottom corner as the boat rocked back and forth. And I thought, this might be it. I was thinking of the movie Titanic and as it had just recently come out. And that's it. We're over. That wasn't even a storm. That was just some rough seas. So when I sit there and I try to imagine what these disciples were going through the boat, Jesus looking at Peter going, all right, man, to fix your faith, you're too safe. Come out. And for many of us, that is why we are in the deep end. Because the Lord is doing something. Perhaps it is the wrapping up of a life to go into their eternity of peace and reward. Perhaps it is a trial to strengthen our patience, to perfect us, to make us stronger. Perhaps it is a hurt or a pain that has devastated us so that later when others go through it, we can be a help and a strength to them. And while we're going through it, we learn to rely on the strength of others, excuse me, as well as the Lord. We see God's blessing in other people's lives as they went through it. And we develop strength for it ourselves. Excuse me. We walk a tender line sometimes. When a hard wind of circumstance blows, it threatens to push us over. Finding ourselves like Peter, watching the storm and forgetting the miracle in front of us. We wander away. There'll be moments in our lives where we may say things have changed. I no longer feel peace. I am afraid. I am uncertain. I am uncomfortable. The flesh would have us believe that this change may also mean that God has somehow changed. We see time and time in Scripture that He does not change. Which means even in your situation, He hasn't changed. While the water rises, Christ is no further away than He ever was. Somebody asked me recently if I'd ever read the Quran, and I have. Not recommending it. It is a very confusing and very upsetting book. But have you read the Quran? Yes, I have. And you know what I found interesting? The Bible doesn't tell the Muslim that Allah loves them the way God says He loves us in the Bible. Do you know that? He says He loves the repentant, He loves the obedient, He loves those that are committed wholeheartedly to service. If you go out and you go to war, Allah loves them. If they go and they smash the infidel, Allah loves them. If they're willing to give away these things and those things, Allah loves them. It doesn't even come out right out and say it. You have to twist it a little bit to get it to say it. Whereas Jesus... Well, He loved us before the earth began. Bible says when we were without form, It says that our names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonderful thing. You see, man's construct cannot build that. They can't fathom that. A God that is well taken care of is a God that loves you. And it's so weird that they define their God like one would have a cat. I've got a cat, won't look at me, won't go near me unless it's hungry. And guess what? When I've got food or I'm down there, it loves me. It cares for me. They treat their God, they define their God as some kind of a cat. That as long as I'm doing everything and I'm committing the murders in Allah's name and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, I've got love. My God says, I'll teach you to love. My God says, I have a design, I have a plan, and I will bring you into it. It is very possible for one to leave the love of Allah, but it is impossible for us to ever leave the love of God. I so very often go to Psalm 139 for comfort. I would never elevate one chapter or one passage of scripture over another, but this one is so often spoken to me. God's loving watch care over us, our down-sitting, our uprising, and His awareness of it. The darkness being light around us just because, as He looks down at us, the darkness being light. Us being fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows everything about you, and He loves you, is what Psalm 139 tells us. That we are always under His care. It is a fleshly response to think that when life changes, God changes. We think that things are out of control or have gone beyond repair. There's no such thing with God. We think that hard times should always mean despair and pain. Then God comes in and takes the fire and strengthens us by it. You see, you think about somebody who does not have the Lord. When they go through the hard times, well, they need the pill bottle. They need the drinking bottle. They need the marijuana. They need all these things. Don't you understand? I need these things. The only thing I need every hour is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what are you saying about those that need it, that they don't know Christ? If they knew Christ, they would not need those things. I don't care what worldly philosopher or dope-smoking hippie says otherwise. Those things are sedation. Those things are distraction. Those things are addiction. They cannot replace what God can do. Let us say that I were to fall into deep misfortune and trouble would come my way, and while almost anybody else in the lost world would be chewed up and eaten by it, because of God's good grace, if my heart is repentant and good with Him, I will come out of that fire stronger than I went in, because that's how God works. He wastes not a single opportunity to bless us, even with the worst of things. Even when things have to happen, He makes us better. I tell you what, it'll be a very bittersweet day on the day that I have to say goodbye to this world. But even then, no crime or hurt will have been done to me. Because I know what comes next. I know where I'm going, and I know I didn't deserve it. I know it was a gift that I get to go. Not even death or illness are the same after we meet Christ. There's no fear. There's no uncertainty. Well, we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, but my God does, and it's a good thing He loves me. And no matter where I go, good or bad, He will work it all together for what? For good. As we read through this passage of Scripture again, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Have you ever been in a position where you didn't know what to say? I'll give you a good one. How you doing today? Now, many of us, we've got a recorded response, don't we? We say the same thing every time. right? Why? Because what would be the real answer to that? How you doing today? Well, I'm good. I ate the wrong kind of oatmeal this morning, so I got a little bit of indigestion going on. I was late to work, so I'm slightly frustrated. I'm having a bad hair day. The car was making a weird noise as I went to go put it in the parking lot. And other than that, though, I got a package from Amazon earlier today, so I guess it's okay. Don't always know what to say to that, do we? How about this? You ever had to pray to the Lord when you were in great need? And you had no idea what to ask for? Oh, we know the simple answer, don't we? Thy will be done. It's not a very easy prayer to pray, but it is the right one. But there are moments where we go to talk to God out of our pain. We know His will take place. We know His will is best. We know His grace, as Paul said, is sufficient for us. Or as the Lord told Paul, is sufficient for us. But you ever go and have the conversation anyway? And we've got no words? Hey, what do you think about that? And then we'll stutter. But we go to God and there's no words for what it is we're going through. We don't know what to ask. Do I ask the Lord to heal? Do I ask the Lord to strengthen? Do I ask the Lord to give me the grace just to handle it? What do I ask the Lord for? We don't even know how to describe what we're going through. Aren't you glad God knows your heart enough? Can interpret those things. That He sees the snapshot of everything going on. I remember being so overworked in July. We had a bunch of people moved out, a bunch of people moving in. And everything was going great. God was blessing, but I was toast. I was fried. I had mountains of paperwork that needed to be filled in. I had a bunch of things I needed to do, bills that needed to be balanced for the business. And I had somebody come in. I asked for help. Somebody came in to help, and they said, "What should I do first?" And you know what I said? I mean, I knew everything that needed to be done. I had it all listed out. You know what I said? Pile of paperwork here, pile of paperwork there, to-do list as long as two of my legs. Just a lot. I didn't know how to communicate to it. You know what? God, in all of His mercy and all of His love and all of His care for you, He knows exactly what's on your plate. He knows exactly what's in your heart. So often, me as the pastor, I have to ask questions. I have to probe a little bit. And I try to give comfort as need be. But the Lord, oh, He needs to ask no questions. He needs to test no theories. He needs to apply no guesses as to what will cure the hurt. He knows. Isn't God good? He not only understands, but He hears us without us needing to speak. Verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So often we look at that and we say, well, wait a minute, how could this? You know, and go ahead and insert whatever your burden is right now. How can this get worked all together for good? What good could be there? I mean, what kind of Sesame Street, always look on the bright side, do I need to do? You don't need to look. Just bear the cross that God gave you, the responsibilities God gave you, and He will make these things clear. You see, we live in a cursed earth, as I've often said, and any bit of random and any bit of awful is out there waiting for us. We live in a world filled with sinners doing awful sin, people out there getting polluted and getting behind cars, and oh yeah, marijuana ain't gonna hurt you. They get behind a vehicle, they go driving out there with their self-righteousness, and they're hurting people. We don't even talk about it. We just say now it's you're driving while under the influence. They don't specify the influence of what anymore. So when we look at those numbers, we don't say, "Hey, what are we doing? What are we allowing here?" No, they've erased that. We don't get the opportunity to look at those numbers. We live in that kind of world. We live in a world where people dump things out into the river, where people put things into the ground, and people get sick off of it. We've got 1,000 ways to get hurt in this world. And that's just the stuff that'll hurt your body. What about the things out there to hurt your spirit and hurt who you are and cause chaos in your life? These are rough things. Forgot to mention, pray for my grandmother. She was out in the hot sun all day last Saturday. Had a fainting spell. Dehydrated. Her diverticulitis was causing her trouble. And those of you who know diverticulitis, it is not a gentle thing. I believe she's still in the hospital. Now, there's a lot of different things that could take place. A lot of different things that can hurt us. What God does is He takes those things and He works them to good. Of all the random and all the things out there waiting to happen, God controls everything that comes into your life. Well, now wait a minute, Lord, couldn't you just taught me this lesson up in the boat? Oh no. Oh no, you had to come out here. In order for things to work out in your life the way they need to, you have to come out here. You can't learn this one in the boat. Peter, you got to get your clothes wet to learn this one. And even in the things that are not designed to reprove us, or the things that are not necessarily there to sharpen us, He will still do that work anyway. God, as I said, wastes zero opportunities in working all things together, the good and the bad. Because it wasn't until Peter was sinking into the water that he could really understand the strength of the Master's hand. If it be you, he needed to go under the water to realize it could only be him. We think of so often where people have found themselves in difficult places. I think often of Elijah. Elijah had to be near passed out on that road. He had to go to the mountain. He had to see that mountain shake with a whirlwind and with the fire. And he had to see those things for him to snap out of what he was going through to do the next thing. God wastes no opportunities. Everything is there to work out for good. And yes, there are moments of pain and uncertainty and things that are quite difficult for us to deal with. But don't ever think for a second you are alone. Because as we read in this verse, He is involved in our lives. He controls the situation. There's not a lot we can control. There's not a lot that we can take care of on our own. We plan the best we can, but it doesn't always go the way we want it to. But I'll tell you this, God is so good that nothing leaves His control. Nothing escapes His ability. And in doing these things and allowing these things and bringing these things into our lives, He brings us where we should be. So we could be the best help. So that we can be shaped and changed and molded into what we ought to be. So that we can be made stronger. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let that settle in for a second. You know, we think so often, man, this is an awful time. Aren't you glad God prepared you for such a time as this? People say all the time, I would have loved to have been born around this time. I would have loved to have been born around that time. You know what? I have found a certain gratitude for the time I was born in. Because this is where God prepared me for. I wouldn't have fit in anywhere else. I'm not talking about my personality, my stature, the way I look. No, I'm talking about the things that God has done in my life. Wouldn't have been prepared for anywhere else but for right now. See, I've talked about this to a couple young preachers. We were here long enough to remember the way things used to be, so that now, as everything seems to be falling apart in the world, we can still preach, remembering the way God taught us it should be. As so many leave churches our age to go off and seek other things. And I don't want church. I want a religious entertainment. I don't want to be preached at. I want to be told I'm good. We are here to stay on the firing line. We are prepared for this. You are alive today because when He made you, He made you for this hour. For whatever temptation, for whatever trial, for whatever thing you're going through, God had a plan for it long before you were born. That's who He is. And He prepared you along the way. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've not gone through too many super difficult times where I have felt as though I was prepared. Anybody ever do that? Your world got turned upside down and you're like, okay, I'm ready for this. I've never been there. I've been there before where I'm Peter sinking under the water. I've been there before where I'm Elijah hanging out there. I've been there before where I'm even, forgive me. I'm even Jonah sitting there waiting for the Lord to do something He had no intention of doing. I've been there and never once felt as though I was equipped. But of course, that's just a trick of the flesh, my friends. That's just a trick of the flesh. God has given you everything you need. You don't feel it. You don't know it. But in the moment when you need to do it, in the moment where obedience is necessary, in the moment when things are hardest, you will find it. Because God does not ever abandon His people. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, could it be our fatigue? Could it be our bodies betraying us? Could it be loss? Could it be grief? Could it be fear? Could it be anything that man can devise? What is it? There's nothing. There's nothing that could be against us. Our only real fear is to have had crossed God. He prepares us for these things. We see this, that God has things for us. These things that we need, He has them. Verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God justified me. I like what the preacher said one time, justified, it's just as if I'd never sinned. That's how God sees me, and that ain't fair, because I am guilty. I did do something wrong. Some of us, we got out of our sin, and we ought to feel more like OJ than anything else, you know? We're walking around, we're free, but we know we're guilty. We know. We're justified, though. We need salvation. God is the provider of it. Back when we had a need we weren't even aware of, God supplied it for us. He gives to us justification. So what is it that could stand against you? Could you fear hell? I don't fear hell. I've been delivered from it by one who would never allow it to come back in. Well, what else could I possibly need? Well, there was justification first. Then what does he say? Verse 34, who is it that he condemneth? It is Christ that died. yea, rather that it is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He's our defender. He provides for us defense. Even the devil couldn't touch Job without God setting the limits. You ever do this? You ever tell your kids not to do something? I bet you did. Don't do that. How about a pet? Something that entirely relies on you, right? You are so far above it in intelligence, right? You got a little dog. Don't do that. What are they to go do? They go do that thing. You've got no control over those things. God, in all of His power, can tell the devil not to do something, and he can't. So what do you have to worry about? He provides for us a defense. Provides for us a defense from all these things. There is not a thing that can come for us that He does not control. There is not a fire that can be set around us that He cannot refine us with. Yes, there will be burning. Yes, there will be pain. Yes, discomfort, absolutely. But in it, through it all, there is God holding our hands. Like a parent holding a child receiving a shot, the love is there, though we must go through it. It's like the child and their father, the parent, they were sitting inside of a doctor's office, and the child knew that it was time for his shots. He said, "Oh, Dad, I don't want to do this." And they're crying and they were upset. And the dad said, "All right, listen. Listen, son, if I could take this shot for you, I would." And the little boy goes, "Okay. Go ahead, Dad." You know, we got to go through it. It's got to be us. It's our life. We got to walk through the fire. We've got to be tampered down. We have to submit to the effects of sin upon our bodies. Not to submit to sin in our behavior, but the effects of sin, the corrupting of it, of our skin and body. We must. But it can't do a thing. God doesn't allow it to. He is there for everything. He is there to care for us and to make sure that it's not 1 degree hotter than what it should be. To make sure that we're not in there for a second longer than we need to be. And all along, He is the fourth man in every fire who stands with us and goes through it with us. See, Jesus, He was not on a boat of His own saying, "All right, Peter, get out there." What did Jesus say to Peter? "Come." He was already out there. He was already out there. In every trial, in every situation, if you look hard enough, there you will find your Savior walking on the waves of the sea, ready to put His arm around you and help you and to comfort you. In this we are, as the Scripture says here, more than conquerors. Conquerors over hell. Hell no longer can touch us that are saved. We're more than conquerors over sin. We don't act like it, but we are. We're more than conquerors. I mean, here's the thing. In some of the games, there's video games that the kids play. There's a way that you can play it, and your character can take no damage. That's the way God made you, by the way. You don't have to sin. We're all sinners. We're going to be tempted to sin, but you don't have to. It'd be ridiculous if we had to, without choice, lie, steal, cheat, whatever, whatever the sins are. We don't have to do that. We don't. We are more than conquerors. It shouldn't have the ability to threaten us or to hurt us, but it is us that allow it to come in. Right? It is as though we have put on the armor. It is as though we have done everything we can to protect our safety. But right before the battle, we sit down with the enemy and have a drink. And it poisons us every time. That is our relationship with sin. Now, we could beat it easily, but my oh my, we choose to give away the victory. But the victory is still ours. God gave it to us. More than conquerors is what we are. We no longer face the grave rites. I mean, we think of what we're about to do this week. There's no reason for her to have been afraid. There's no reason for any of us to be afraid. And so often we read things. You know, I've read so many things about biblical counseling, and it uses that phrase, loss, loss, loss. I know where she is. I know where she is. And when I get up to heaven, I can't prove it in Scripture, but I believe I'll recognize her. And I think that she'll be much better off than she was down here, as we all will be. We should not fear it. I mean, it completely changes things. We no longer have to sit there like the unbeliever and go, "I don't know what's going to happen. What's on the other side? Do the lights just turn off? Were the Christians right? Were the Buddhists right? Were the Mormons right? Who was right? I don't know. But we know." Oh, and sure, there's still a hefty amount of weight that goes along with it, but God is there to help bear our burdens. As we see that phrase, "we are more than conquerors," it simply means those things don't stand a chance. They're not even on the same level as our God. And our God, He fights for us. Our God, He defends us. Again, that verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Through Him. It means He's right there. While our minds are in a panic, when we're all in a dither, when we're 1,000 questions and only 2 or 3 answers, while we're running around like chickens with our head cut off, when we're bouncing between Pharaoh and the sea, when we're sitting there playing our games and just rubbing our hands together, there's God. Going, you ready for this next step? Now hold on. Because I'm about to take you somewhere new. We're about to see something. And even in the things that must be, we find God's blessing in those things. And again, it's not so much a loss. I've heard it said potentially, well, you know, so-and-so lost their battle with cancer. They lost their battle with this. I don't know. It's not often that the people who lose something get to feast and get to walk a street of gold and get to go enjoy the presence of their Creator and get to celebrate in heaven. That don't look like losing to me. I've never seen anybody lose and rejoice as much as a child of God does when they get to heaven. I've never seen anybody come back to the Lord. And yeah, sure, they might have lost their battles with this or that out there, but the celebration that is found when they come back, the rejoicing. We must remember that as we are more than conquerors in these things, it means that those things we go through, we don't just win them, but we are made better by them. A very dear pastor, I would scarce to call him friend, he means so much to me. Ronnie Wolf, he wrote this poem and he sent it to me a couple years ago and it's been on my desk ever since. It says, we do not know where wind comes from, nor where it goes abroad, but the wind that blows against my back is a wind that blows toward God. From childhood on, God's mercy led the wind upon my back and caused it ceaselessly to blow and never once had slack. I knew that God was in the wind and for my sake the zephyrs come to send away the hurt and tears and push me on toward home. When storms of life blew hard on me and fear became my friend, I listened to the wooing breeze that pushed me to my end. 'Tis God who makes the zephyrs blow so gently from behind to touch my heart and lift my soul and calm my troubled mind. And when I pass this fleeting life and find my way to home, I'll know the subtle winds blow high for me, but not me alone. There is not a wind that blows. There is not a fire that starts. There is not an illness, a fight, a heartache that comes your way that it is not by God's design to do some good. That is the power of our Master. That there is nothing, no weapon that can be forged against us that He cannot make us to benefit from. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I'm going to read those two verses again. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to play a little game. It is Wednesday night. It's a Bible study where I want to do a little practice with you. I want you to list everything that's on your heart. And I want you to size up all those monsters. Every Goliath, every troubled sea, every soldier in Pharaoh's army that is now currently in your life. And I'm going to ask you this question. Are those things bigger than these promises? For I am persuaded that neither death... Do you have anything in your life that's more troublesome than that? Nor life... Life can be pretty troublesome too. You got anything bigger than life? Anything bigger than angels? Now, I'm not talking about the sissified things on top of a Christmas tree. I'm talking about the Old Testament angels destroying armies, just one guy. I'm talking Book of Revelation, trumpet blowing, world-ending angels. You got anything bigger than that right now? Oh, we've got big things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not belittling it. I've hurt. I've cried. I've shed tears into the carpets. I have. I understand. But have any of them been bigger than this? How about principalities? These are the big things, the big structural things, the leaders, the things unseen and seen that govern the way the world works. How about powers? People in prestigious positions, powerful positions. You got anything bigger than that? How about things present or things to come? Does anything you've got fall into that? That's often what we're worried about, right? Oh, we're worried about the things that have been too. But we often worry about, oh no, this is happening right now. It's a very big deal. Or we do the thing, we worry about the future stuff, which is ridiculous because we don't even know what tomorrow brings. So hey, that trouble you have, is it today? That trouble you have, is it tomorrow? Because it's covered. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I want you to think of your first child. You're sitting there in the hospital, and you're holding your child for the first time. What could take that child away from you? What? Oh, I'm not talking about the nurse or the doctor, somebody who'd come in, hey, it's time to take the test. I'm talking about somebody coming in going, okay, thank you for giving birth to it. I'm going to take it now. Anybody here? What would take that child away from you? I would need to be dead. No, we're going to take that. Hey, we're from the government. Hey, we're some stranger off the street. Hey, I've got a knife. Give me the child. Well, you're going to have to wet that knife because I'm not handing this child over. I hope you took your protein this morning. You're about to get a workout. I'm not saying I'm very good, but I'll give it my all. Right? We would. How much more do you think your Heavenly Father loves you with His perfection and His ability to love in a way that we can't? So often we sit there and think, yeah, nothing can tear me out of God's love. Yeah. Do you understand what that means? It means the thing that is whipping you now can't take you out of God's love. And how does a father love their child? How does God love His children? Well, He's willing to leave the 99 to go after the one. He didn't even, as this passage said, He didn't even spare Jesus Christ when it came down to loving you. He didn't even spare Himself. So now you sit here and you consider these things that have changed, these things that have affected our lives, these things that go anywhere from being mild inconveniences to life-altering instances. How big do they really look compared to the God you serve? Oh, He'll be there for you. Oh no, it won't be the exact perfection that we ask for. Somebody sent me a sermon this morning. I got about halfway through it. And I wanted to be sick, and I don't think it's because I caught what Melody's got. This guy, he gave us a list of seven things that you can do to guarantee that God will answer your prayer. Now, when I say guarantee, I was like, no, what do you mean by guarantee? Like, because I understand sometimes God answers the prayer, yes, no. So maybe that's what he was going to clear up. He was just being clever to get people interested. No, this guy actually believed that if you did those things, God has to say yes. I go, oh boy. I almost kind of wanted to go to the website that he had to see if he was selling hankies. Wanted to see how much money he had raised for his private jet. That kind of preaching makes me very suspect. Because God's going to do what he's going to do. Right? I remember when I was a kid, I had all sorts of idea what life should be. Why can't I have pizza every day? Why do I have to go to the doctor? I just went to school yesterday. Why do I got to go today? I even did this to my parents' kids. Don't you ever try this on me because I've already been there. My grades are really good. Can I have a day off? Guess what the answer was for that one. We think that we've got it cornered. Life's going to throw curveballs. We're going to go through things. But there's not an instance in your life that God does not have control. And I don't think that means that God is mean when He lets me go through things I don't like. I don't think that it is awful of God to allow things to have happened in my life nor yours that break your heart and crush you. I know you look at me and I looked at this. Some of you are 40 years older than me. And I'm not, there's no punchline coming. Don't. Just follow me, follow me. And I tried to consider what it would be like to try to take life advice from somebody 40 years younger than me. And then I woke up and realized that they're not born yet. I get it. But believe me when I say I've been crushed. I'm not talking about somebody popped my balloon. I've been crushed. I've been hurt. I've had moments where I could not imagine what it was that God was doing and why I had to go through it. But I'll stand here today knowing that there's not a thing that's happened in my past that didn't make me who I am and let me to do what it is that I try to do. And not only did he bring me through those things to create in me what I should be, he's going to continue to do so, so that one day I might actually get there. And not only the future, not only the now, not only the past, but as we see there, he called me long before, predestined me, made me with this life in mind. He knew when he created you, you'd have to put up with me. He knew when he created me, I'd have to put up with you. He knew the blessing we'd be to each other. He knew the blessing you'd be to each other. He knew that each and every one of us would have what part in each other's lives to keep us on track, to help us, to put us where we are. There is not a second of the day God has not designed for you. Just hang on. We don't always get it. We don't always feel right about it. And sometimes, man, who do we talk about? We talked about President Jackson at the birthday party. You know, I made the joke that he was in so many duels that they say he jangled when he walked. Well, many of us, we felt that our hearts were in so many pieces they could probably hear us walking too. But God knows those situations. And he holds us through those situations. You ever, and I'm not picking on this, so if this comes up, don't say, well, Pastor doesn't. Just follow me. I'll be done. You ever hear that poem, Footprints? Now, I think that's cute. It's not biblical, but it's cute. Whereas this passage of Scripture has always been, by a thousand times, better in my mind than that poem. Because it lists the things that God carries me over. It lists what he will help me to survive. And it doesn't just say that he carries me. It says that I become more than a conqueror because of him. You're untouchable. Why? Because of me? Because of some hyper spirit? No, because he's there. Peter, those waves can't get you. Come on, man. I'm here. And those disciples, could you imagine those disciples in the boat? We're there now, aren't we? We see people going through a hard time. We're going through a hard time. They're going through a worse time. And we're going, do you see what he just did? And then guess what? When God got in the boat, when Christ got into that boat, what happened? Everything calmed down. That means he let them shake in that boat until he got there. So I would say this. God has a lot of things for you. Go get it. Go get it. Your Heavenly Father has something special for you. When things are hard, when things are good, it doesn't matter. He's got special things for you. I give you a whole list of things that he does for you. And a whole list of things he's bigger than. Go get them. And when I say go get them, I want you to realize what happened there. You got your eyes off of them. You got scared. You thought the circumstances had so upset things that they're irreparable, that there's no good that could come out of it. No, you forget that. You go back to him and you'll see. You'll see. God loves you. and he is involved in your life, don't keep him at arm's length. You go to him daily, minutely. However often you need him, you go. He is your heavenly Father, and he loves you. Lord, thank you so much for your promises. Lord, your love. The many, many things that you do for us. Lord, you mean so much, and we don't always understand why your goodness and love abounds to us so much. But we're grateful. And Lord, because you loved us, we know how to love you. Teach us, Lord, to come to you in our troubles. Teach us, Lord, to come to you in rejoicing. Lord, help us to never walk away. That man who wrote that song, he wandered from you and wandered again. Help us, Lord, not to wander. Help us to stay close to the shepherd, close to your watching hand. We know that you'll get us wherever. But Father, this world is so scary, it's just best to stay close. Help us, Lord, to have that relationship. Help us, Lord, to mend it if it's not there now. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.